wreck it. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. They got the best for so much less, you really flip your lid.
From bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is.
Gee whiz!
I don't want to grow up, because baby, if I did, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
More games, more toys.
Oh, boy!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pop Culture Ninja. I'm Nathan here with Nathan. Nathan, what's going on, dude?
We have Ian back.
We
Ian
do.
Racetrick is back with us.
Yeah, super stoked about this one because we're going to get his thoughts and perspectives on Doctor Strange, the movie. You and I did a more comprehensive review when it came out, but we're going to get Ian's perspective on it from the comic book dude. And then we're going to go ahead, and he's got some great comic gift ideas for people out there as well. So this is going to be more of our gift episode where we're giving you guys thoughts and ideas on things that might be hot, things you might be aware of, things you might not be aware of. I've been flipping through my GameStop magazine, Game Informer magazine. They always do a really good price breakdown on gifts and things like that. So I have a couple gift ideas from different price categories to work with you. And Nathan, I know you've got some ideas to throw out there as well. So
this is perfect if you're like that procrastinator person who has done zero Christmas shopping.
That's right.
Which is what I, prior to children, I used to be, but my wife doesn't allow that. Like, I would just now, it would just become on my periphery that Christmas was approaching.
Yeah.
So
hey, it's not less minute until it's Christmas Eve at
right.
5 o'clock in the evening.
Given that we've now managed to literally do almost all of ours online, you know, you have to be just a little bit preemptive
yes.
to allow time for things to show up. So,
yep, true that. So, Ian, welcome back. How you doing, man?
Hi, I'm good. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. So tell me, for you, does the Christmas season tend to pick up for you like it does, you know, virtually everyone?
It does. We have a lot of people coming in looking for, you know, gift certificates, that kind of thing, because generally, not always, but a lot of times comic people, it's hard to buy a specific comic for somebody. Because
yeah.
My mom said, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I want Amazing Spider-Man number 2. And then she goes and she spends $600 on a copy that's not good enough for me or something like that.
Sure.
You know, that's an extreme example, but, you know, that can happen with a $5 or $10 book.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of gift certificate business and a fair amount of trade paperback and toy business, things like that too.
Nice. And we're going to get to a few of those things in a moment, but we do want to start off and talk to you about Doctor Strange. This one was kind of a long time coming, but you saw the movie, I'm assuming, yes?
Yes.
Yes, nice. That's good. We're off to a good start here. So talk to us about it. Your thoughts, you know, you were more familiar with the origin stories than Nathan and I were. So talk to us about, you know, just how you thought they did with this, bringing this comic to the screen.
I think they did a pretty good job. The comic origin was a little hokey. I mean, it was early 60s Marvel, so a lot of that needs to be updated to some extent. Basically, Doctor Strange in the comic, he hurts his hands. He goes to Tibet and learns magic in, I think the origin story was probably 10 or 12 pages, and becomes a sorcerer. The movie, of course, fleshes that out a lot more. But yeah, I liked a lot of the Tilda Swinton as the Ancient One was really good. I think that was inspired casting. A lot of the visual effects are they tackled a lot of things Marvel movies haven't really done, and that it's fun when Marvel movies go make genre movies like, you know, Ant-Man was a heist film mm-hmm. more than a regular superhero film. Guardians was kind of a little bit like that, a little, I guess, buddy cop movie almost with a gang. And
like campy sci-fi, like out there.
Yes, you know, yes. Stuff,
yeah.
And Doctor Strange felt a lot different than all the other movies. And I think that was a good thing. It's nice to change it up when you're putting out at this point basically three movies a year starting next year.
Yeah. What were some things that you thought they could have done a better job with in terms of how they put the movie together and things like that?
It's Marvel movies never make the villain interesting. I mean, he looks good sometimes, and, you know, he might do an interesting thing or two, but for the most part, they sacrifice building the villain up in return for more stuff with the hero and more banter and humor and things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dormammu looked neat, and he was kind of close to the comic version in terms of what he wanted to do and overall look. They tweaked it a bit and things like that. But Cassilius, he was, like I said in the last podcast, kind of a nothing character in the comics. And
he was really the villain. I mean, yes, honestly, you know, like, Dormammu was almost like, I thought the special effects could be a little bit better. I was having, like, flashbacks to that Spawn movie when, you know, when the Malvolge just shows up at the end and he's sort of this big CGI blur. And I'm like,
yeah.
I like how they handled Dormammu, and, of course, that final scene was very cool. But, I think I said that, too, on the podcast. It's just the villain was weak to the point that there was a hole where a villain should be.
Yes.
And I think that maybe Baron Mordo could have been that had they bumped him up to villain. I understand why they didn't immediately. But I think given the casting and where they seem to be going with his character, that potentially – I still don't know if he'll be a great villain, but he has the potential to be more interesting in a sequel.
The fact that they – I mean, they didn't do a ton with him in this movie, but they did enough with him that I think it's a good foundation for him in the next movie. Now, his motivations were, you know, oh, I saw magic abused, now I'm going to get rid of magic. It was a little, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't buying that either. But, I mean, to be fair, it's sort of like, I'm not sure I was buying I don't think that I bought most of those comic book character reasons for things changing, you know?
Right.
That sometimes it's just so small. I really like Tilda Swinton, too. I thought, in a way, and I know that they I felt like she needed more time. I would have been perfectly happy. Granted, like you said, if they weren't going to spend time on the villains, I might have used even less of them and a little bit more of seeing more of her past. Because
yes,
we get that moment where they start to question her. She's using the dark magic. Well, why? And her reasoning is very quick, and it doesn't quite have the impact you'd want it to have. Like, you kind of want to see a little bit more of her and what was going on.
Based on comic Ancient One stuff, I'm guessing that we are going to see her astral / ghost version in the next movie.
Yeah, I thought she was going to probably have a sort of Obi-Wan, if you will.
Yes.
Presence. You're right. Like, the Ancient One showed up in that perspective, but like that opening scene with her, it's so good, and it's like I could have followed. Honestly, I told Nathan I liked Cumberbatch. I thought he did a fine job as Doctor Strange, but Doctor Strange still wasn't all that interesting to me in this movie. Like, if you're looking at it just from a movie perspective and not the need to have Doctor Strange be at the head, I would have much rather to prefer or to follow the Tilda Swinton character, this version of the Ancient One. I could have watched a whole movie with her fighting off the villains.
Yes. I think part of the problem is that Iron Man with Tony Stark acting the way he did, that's how Doctor Strange should be more like that, but they didn't want to make it look just like Tony Stark, so they watered him a bit down a bit, and so he wasn't a strong enough character, because he's not a horrible guy when his hands stop functioning. In the comic, I mean, they didn't make him that bad in the original because it was Silver Age, but there's been some retconning. He was a pretty big jerk back in the day, and that doesn't come as cross nearly as much. Yeah, he's a surgeon who likes glory, and we get that, but that doesn't make you a bad person.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, and it was kind of like they were going that direction. I was kind of okay with that, mostly just because we know it's every sort of Marvel movie recently has been, you know, kind of like affable rich guy becomes less of a jerk. It's sort of the sort of the character arc, even in a sense that's Thor, you know. Well, Captain America is interesting just because he doesn't have that jerk arc to his storyline.
Well, Ant-Man is affable. Poor guy becomes less of a jerk.
That's true. Ant-Man falls outside of that too.
Yes.
So, but I think that's to the credit of some of those things. Ant-Man really sort of sidestepped a lot of origin story. You know, I mean,
yes.
Like you said, they took a heist story and they made it his origin story.
Yeah.
They took Guardians of the Galaxy, did a wild Fifth Element kind of movie, and made it their origin story.
Yeah.
But to me, what saved Doctor Strange was the visual element was so profoundly different, I thought, than most of the Marvel movies. It had its own visual identity that made it interesting.
Yes, and I have no idea how they're going to incorporate that when he joins up with the Avengers.
I hope they do, though. I hope they find a way.
I do.
I hope Tony Stark has a weird acid trip where little hands come out. And that's funny. I walked out. I took my four-year-old with us to the movies, and he walked out, and I said, what was your favorite part? He goes, I like the little hands. But having the extent to which I'd read the comics, I did enjoy that they took the time to make that first jaunt across the astral plane like a real significant piece of the movie.
Yes.
You know, like that it wasn't 3 seconds and he sees some weird stuff. It was a legitimately strange dream trip.
Yeah.
Nice. So, Ian, any other thoughts or final thoughts or comments about the movie?
I liked it overall. You make me give it a letter. I'd say B minus, maybe. I think it was not necessarily a great movie, but it was a fun movie. Like Ant-Man, it wasn't great, but it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm less picky about some things with movies. It's like, was it fun? Okay, I go to the movie to have fun.
Sure.
So
nice.
I agree. It was a good time.
So, Ian, after all of that with the first one, let me ask you this. You have the writers, the directors, producers, whoever the powers that may be, here sitting in front of you. They're getting ready to work on Doctor Strange 2, which I'm sure they actually already have. But you have a seat at the table. You have input that you can give. What are some things that you would tell them, hey, you know what, this is what you need to focus on to make this stellar, or you need to do less of this in order to make this a stellar movie? Thoughts on that?
I think, firstly, Mordo's going to be the villain in the second one, I assume. Mm-hmm. We need to flesh him out a bit more. Not a ton of explanation with him. He saw magic abused, now he wants to get rid of magic, but he's using magic to do it. So, you know, there's a little bit of contradiction there. I'd like to see more. I mean, Ancient One's dead, but hopefully we'll get to see her astrally or ghostly or however right. they want to do it. Because she's good. I don't know if it's too early to get into more magic stuff besides Doctor Strange, but if they had, say, maybe Brother Voodoo, who's been revitalized in the comics the last few years. I don't think they'd go to Ghost Rider since S.H.I.E.L.D.'s been doing stuff with him, and they're trying to keep things kind of separate, even though there's other Ghost Riders they could use. But I think that every couple of years you get a magic-based Marvel movie that's not just Doctor Strange. That wouldn't be a bad thing. And it would be nice if we saw Nightmare show up. There's not that many Doctor Strange villains. Nightmare, he's kind of a guy who goes into your dreams and does weird stuff to you. And he's one of the few Doctor Strange villains that has been around for a while. Most Doctor Strange villains, like Anonymous Magic User 1, 2, 3, or 4, or something of that nature.
Sure. But. Interesting. Very cool. So now we want to go ahead and segue into our gift section a little bit here. Because, you know, we did say that we had some things that, Ian, you wanted to bring up in terms of comics. Nathan, I know you had some questions about some Christmas comics and then some other gift ideas. And then I had some gift ideas from Game Informer, some things that they recommended within some price ranges that people may enjoy. Ian, let's go ahead and just start off with you. I know you said that, you know, the gift cards were some of your biggest sellers around this time of the year. But what would be some things that you might recommend to someone outside of that?
Well, it's if somebody's a comic fan and you have absolutely no idea what to get them, bags and boards for back issues or current issues are always a good thing that all comic people can use, rather than trying to guess a specific issue or something like that. If you have somebody who is a Star Wars person who might not necessarily be reading the current Star Wars comics, the specifically the Darth Vader series that just ended is one of the better comics I've read in the last decade or so. And there's 5 trade paperbacks for it. There's a hardcover. There'll be a second hardcover coming down the line soon. But that is a really good series. It's Kieran Gillen writes it. Salvador LaRocca's the artist. And it's it takes place between episodes 4 and 5, but it fleshes out Darth Vader. It adds some new characters like Dr. Aphra that are very interesting. And that's a good for anyone who appreciates comics, things like that, but especially Star Wars people who might not be into that yet.
Nice. Nice. Nathan, you had some questions about some Christmas comics. You want to go ahead and dive into those?
We could. If we are still on the kind of gift thing, we can stick on that. I was just curious about any Christmas storylines or Christmas comics that Ian might be aware of. But like I say, we can kind of hold that back if you want.
No, I mean, this. I think that would the word work well right in this.
Sure. Generally, Christmas comics are really bad.
Fair enough. Christmas. I remember Squirrel Girl showed up in a Christmas special, if my memory serves correctly.
That would be the GL Xmas special.
Yes.
Where she beats Thanos.
Yes, I think I still have that somewhere, but I think that wasn't that her first appearance was in a Christmas comic, right?
It was like Marvel used to do like a quarterly book that was just a bunch of different stories, and the winter one was her first appearance.
I believe there was also like a Doctor Strange Ghost Rider crossover storyline in that comic, but it's been a long time since I've read it.
All I remember from it is Squirrel Girl fighting Doctor Doom.
And the scene of all the like squirrels piling on top of him.
Yes, yes. there's a couple of decent holiday stories that I can think of off the top of my head. Batman Long Halloween was a 13-issue miniseries by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale back 10, 12 years ago or so. And it's not just Christmas. It covers all the holidays.
Possibly Halloween.
Yes. Halloween is amongst them. The premise is that there's a serial killer that's killing people on holidays that are mob-related, and it's a murder mystery, and it's really fun. There's a follow-up called Dark Victory that's not quite as good, but it's still worth reading. But that's
there were elements of the Long Halloween in Dark Knight, weren't there?
Yeah.
Dark Knight storyline.
Yeah, they took a bit of the mob stuff or the mobster stuff out of that. But I don't want to spoil anything specific about the book, even though it's 12 years old. But it's a fun book. There's Uncanny X-Men 143. It's collected in several different trades, but the back issue's not too expensive. But the name of the story is Demon. And it's a Kitty Pryde-centric story soon after she joins the team. And it takes place on Christmas Eve and involves her fighting, I don't think it's a brood, but it's a monster of some sort at the X-Mansion. But that's a fun little story. It's a self-contained one. Hmm. And there's also they had a comic based on the Batman animated series, and there was a Batman Adventures holiday special, and they adapted that for the cartoon later on in the run from the 90s Batman. But there's one story where Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn mind control Bruce Wayne into going on a shopping spree at Christmas for him. There's a few other fun stories in there too, but that's the main one.
Nice.
But that one of the other stories is Harvey Bullock having to pose as a mall Santa in order to catch Clayface. But that's a fun little one that I think's probably been collected in something over the years. But
That's awesome.
And
yeah, so they've got a list here too of like the top 25 greatest Christmas stories in comic books, and number three is Demon, which is the one you were just talking about. Okay. Uncanny X-Men. How about The Silent Night of the Batman? Are you familiar with that?
Is that the one where Batman goes Christmas caroling with the Gotham Police Department?
I'm not certain. It's Batman 219.
I think it is.
It was in the 60s, so it's very, very highly like, yes, indeed it is. Yes. And it says something like, thousands of years, mystics have experienced the many mysteries surrounding Christmas. Tonight there will be one more.
Commissioner so, Gordon yes, puts the bat signal on, and Batman shows up, and he's like, hey, I figured you should go caroling with us. From the police department.
Like, I can just do this until something. This is why not. I can enjoy myself until something happens.
Yes,
probably two panels away.
And several crimes are about to happen, but people like mistake things for Batman. Like, there's a guy who's about to rob somebody, and he sees a guy who's kind of wearing a Batman costume who's not Batman, and he decides to not rob somebody. And
he's actually wearing like a Santa costume and the Batman, and it says support the Wayne Foundation.
Yes.
And he just throws the gun in the trash.
Yes.
I only notice I'm looking at this comic book pain by pain, some of it looks a little painful. Definitely there is a great Nathan. We need to put on maybe make it the image for this episode. There's a scene of him and like all the police department singing We Three Kings and Batman belting it out. That
issue took place during the Neil Adams Batman run, which is one of the more popular and one runs of Batman, and one that holds up pretty well. It's where they introduced Ra's al Ghul and things like that. And it was close enough to Silver Age. They still did some questionable things.
So, is it a good story? Is it worth reading? Or
I think it's a fun story. You got to get an original copy. It'd probably run you 50, 60 bucks, but
yeah, it looks like you can read most of it right here online.
Okay.
That's great.
This list. But they also have an episode of maybe it was The Incredible Hulk called Rhino Gets Plastered.
That is Hulk 378, I think,
that's impressive. That probably is.
I was filing some books today and I saw that one. That's why it sticks out. But yeah, the rhino is posing as a mall Santa.
That's the go-to thing. But I think I like the idea of the rhino posing as a mall Santa even better than Harvey Bullock posing as the mall Santa.
they had a – Rhino would – he was a Spider-Man bad guy. He'd fight the Hulk, though, because he was big and strong. But every – like once in a while, he would show up just oddly in the Hulk book. There was a story where – like the Hulk was in Florida kind of undercover, so he was wearing body paint and people didn't know he was the Hulk. And he ended up playing like baseball against the Rhino, not wearing his Rhino costume, but they just these two huge guys playing like minor league baseball.
That's funny.
That's like I think it's in the 430s or something.
That sounds
for Hulk.
Like a classic like filler Christmas sort of story.
But it was during the Peter David run, which was quite lengthy and quite popular. Still holds up for the most part. It wasn't that long ago though. But
that's hysterical. Yeah. Shifting gears just slightly, and then we'll kind of go back to some other things. So, like I said, one of my go tos is Game Informer for gift ideas and things like that. And Game Informer does a great job during their Christmas run of really putting out some unique ideas, and they break it down in a price range for you. So you have your under 25, then you have your your between 25 and 50, and then it goes up from there and so on. So I'm just going to take and kind of intermittently read a couple of these that I think are worth noting. I think would be a great idea for people out there who are video game enthusiasts, but also I think the things that I'm going to read aren't video game specific. They kind of have that neat flair to them, but they're also nice decorative pieces or accessories that you can use outside of that. So the first one I'm going to mention is this really cool. It's the Fallout Antique Gold and Silver Vault 111 Pocket Watch. And it's really neat. It's got this gold sprocket trim around a silver watch, and then it's just got 111 in it. So it actually looks really nice, decorative. And it's actually not bad. I mean, at $15, you know, for many people, that, you know, that's an inexpensive stocking stuffer for many people out there. But, you know, I remember growing up, I actually had a pocket watch, still do. And, you know, it is a nice piece to kind of add to class yourself up every once in a while. And then the second thing I'm going to mention is this modern N7 Armor Stripe scarf, which comes from the series Mass Effect. Sorry, I had a blank moment there. Mass Effect. So it's Mass Effect scarf. It has the N7 logo on it, and it's just this really neat black with gray stripes and then the red down the middle, so the Mass Effect logo. And it's $25. So it actually I think those would be two items that, you know, for under $30 definitely would make some really neat gift ideas for some people out there who are interested in video games, but maybe also for some people who aren't necessarily interested in video games but would like, you know, some nice little accessory pieces. Nathan, shoot it over to you real quick. Do you have any thoughts or ideas for people, books or movies that might be kind of some nice gift ideas?
Yeah, so I think in the vein of movies, there's a lot of – I mean, there are obviously holiday movies out there that you can purchase. Sometimes by the time you get around to giving somebody the gift on Christmas, you're a little – it's a little late. They've got about a couple – you know, a day or so left to check it out. But there's, of course, we've covered many classic, like, holiday movies. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that's out there that's just come out in terms of movies that would make – or movie-related memorabilia that would make good gifts, there's a bit of stuff. There's something that just came out, I think, just last week. If you are a fan, and this is probably more for the cinephile than your average person, but if you're a fan of Mad Max Fury Road that released last summer, and of course it came out on Blu-ray, but George Miller released just recently the Mad Max Fury Road Black and Chrome edition, and that so that's standalone. That's for Fury Road, and it is basically the black and white version of that. And some people have asked me, like, well, can't you just turn the colors down on your television and you have a perfectly good black and white version of something? Now, the truth is, a movie that is then is transferred or shot in black and white is a different experience. And George Miller has emphatically stated, it seems weird to me because Fury Road is such a colorful movie,
right,
that he originally envisioned it as a black and white movie. I've not seen it yet, but it definitely seems it's an interesting idea and an interesting concept. And they're selling it as part of something called, like, the High Octane Edition or something, which is all of the Mad Max films with several pretty interesting special features, several different sorts of making of the movies from the sets and everything. So Mad Max Fury Road, the black and chrome version, and then the previous three Mad Max movies are all together there with a huge wealth of special features. So if for some reason you're somebody who likes the Mad Max movies but doesn't own any of them on Blu-ray, which might not be an experience, because most likely if you're into them, you probably have at least a couple. But it's sort of the definitive collection of that. So if you got somebody who's really into action movies or maybe hasn't really taken that plunge with the Mad Max movies, I think that's a really good, again, for the action crowd, that would be a good purchase. Movies that have come out recently, there's a lot of really good children's films from the summer that are just now hitting Blu-ray and DVD. I can think of a couple off the top of my head. We just recently had Kubo and the Two Strings,
yep,
which was a really cool animated film that I don't think many people actually saw. So it's available now. It would make a great gift, really, for anybody. I wouldn't say just kids. This is true of all three movies. The BFG from the summer, Spielberg's movie, was,
yes,
a lot of fun.
Yep.
Also didn't quite get the audience. Same is true of Peach Dragon, which I thought was an excellent, probably one of my favorite movies of the summer. Not what you would have expected. Also just kind of didn't get the audience there. So there's a couple of those. There's a lot of really good movies, again, if you're a film lover out there, that some movies are just being put on Blu-ray for the first time. Criterion Collection does a really nice job, and they have a couple movies. If you're a cinephile, I'd recommend Chimes at Midnight, which was a movie that Orson Welles made about Falstaff. Falstaff from Henry V is sort of clownish, kind of ex-knight character that lots of times when people talk about a larger-than-life sort of sidekick, they'll use the term Falstaffian. That's a bit of an undersell for what the term means. But Chimes of Midnight's a really good kind of underseen Orson Welles movie. I'd also recommend Akira Kurosawa's one of his last movies. It's called Dreams, and he just made – essentially, he took dreams he was having and turned them into small vignettes, and it became an entire movie. One of these scenes actually has a sequence that is inside of Van Gogh's paintings, and Van Gogh is sort of wandering around painting things inside of his own painting. So it's a really neat visual movie. There's a lot of stuff like that.
Nice. Very cool. Ian, want to throw it back to you for a couple minutes, and any other ideas that you might have for gifting or thoughts?
Well, if you're looking to get let's say you know somebody, say, like Spider-Man, and they're a newer Spider-Man person. There's a few different Spider-Man things that might be worth getting because they're either really good stories or important stories. For my money, the best Spider-Man story in the past however many years, 50 years, was a two-part story called Nothing Can Stop the Juggernaut. And it was an Amazing Spider-Man 229 and 230. And they've collected that a couple different places over the years. Like, there's a trade. The Amazing Spider-Man Gauntlet Volume 4 has it.
That's a really good storyline.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
That one.
Well, that whole run's really good. It's the Roger Stern run. And it has other classics like the 248, the one with the Thunderball on the front. I'm blanking on the name of it. It's a really good story. but they have an omnibus that's that entire Roger Stern run, which it's a little hefty at 125, but it's probably the best Spider-Man run. And it's 30, maybe 40 or so issues, but it's got the first Hobgoblin stuff in it and things like that. Mm. And that's worth tracking down.
Nice.
You could also get the single issues. Most of them aren't crazy expensive except for the first Hobgoblin appearance.
Mm-hmm. So what would be – do you have anything off the top of your head? Maybe somebody's out there shopping for their teenage daughter who's just getting into comics. Anything out there you might recommend that's around now for them?
Well, back to Star Wars, they had a Princess Leia miniseries that it's her and another pilot going around and basically – picking up survivors from Alderaan. But Mark Waid writes it, and he's good stuff. He's done a lot of good things over the years. They've just relaunched Supergirl at DC. I think they're up to issue 3 or 4. But and that's – if they like the show or things like that, that's – probably a good way to go. There's also, and I don't want to generalize and say, if it's a girl, you should get it something with a girl starring in it. But I understand that I have a lot of customers who will come in and say, like, oh, my daughter's looking to get into stuff. And they usually go the route of, do you have something starring a girl or a female?
Right.
And that's why I'm kind of generalizing about that, because that's what people are looking for. On the younger end, they're or just me. I have a friend whose wife reads them, so not necessarily that much younger, but they have that DC Superhero Girls series.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have two. They're like small trade paperbacks. They're $10 a pop, but they have collections for those. I think they're original stories. I'm not, because they haven't released like single versions of those, but there are two of those out, and that's a pretty good seller for us. And like I said, I have some. It's like 8-9-year-old girls get it, and I've had a couple older ones get it too. So
nice.
I think that would be pretty good.
Sweet, sweet. So I'm going to go ahead and jump back to myself real quick. So you know, mentioned the 25 and under range. So now I'm going to jump to the 25 to 50 range in terms of gifts. For Star Wars fans out there, people who might be interested in a little role playing, you know, Nathan, you and I have.
No, we are not role playing together. I'm going
to
tell you that right now.
Come on, man. Don't be a hater. So we have talked about before, you know, Dungeons and Dragons on the podcast. We're going to have Dave Middleton on at some point.
Okay, I was talking more in depth. Something totally different when you said role playing in Star Wars.
All right. Anyway, so for those of you out there who might be interested, there is a Star Wars: The Force Awakens beginner RPG game for $29.95. It comes with the core rules for the game, and it comes with some pre-made characters. I'm assuming they have some levels and attributes to them already, so you can kind of just all out of the box sit down and go on this Star Wars quest. You know, so if that's something that you have people who are interested in, I know sometimes it's a little taboo to be into Dungeons and Dragons and then to also be in Star Wars because science fiction and all that stuff. But, you know, there is a fraction of people out there who might enjoy both of those things and might enjoy seeing, being able to play some of their, favorite characters from The Force Awakens. And then going into some of the technological side, there's the Amazon Echo Dot for $49.99. So for those of you out there who might be interested in, you know, picking that up, that's the voice-activated Wi-Fi Amazon little disc. And this is the Dot, so not the huge tower. This is the little one that stands there. And you can, you know, call out to it and say, hey, find me, you know, the closest pizza place. Or you can even dial up the pizza place from this thing and get them on the phone and, you know, start ordering your food. You can do an Uber from it. So if you're getting ready and you need to get somewhere, you can call up an Uber from it. You know, it'll pull up the site for you on the dot and give you some recommendations of some people. So, you know, a couple again, you know, getting into that $50 price range, a couple of neat little gift ideas for you. Nathan, on to you.
Oh, we're back on me, huh?
Back on you.
So has anyone actually managed to buy that, like, small Nintendo that came out this year?
No. I've heard of some people going out and buying it. We've had some people post I can't remember if they posted on our site or I'm also a member of the Reformed Gamers on Facebook, and so they might have been posting in there, but I do know of some people who tried to go out and get it. I know some people were successful. Some weren't. My personal thought on it was I was going to wait until the craze ended and then you know, try to get on it maybe after Christmas.
Yeah, I see they're like selling this thing for way more than it's worth, and then we've got some retro bit system, which I'm sure is probably some kind of non-legit product.
That's what you get at CVS for $19.99.
Yeah, I had one of those back in the day, but I mean, I guess you get the tricked out Xbox or tricked out PlayStation is probably your best bet, but I don't think those are done so by legal means.
Yeah. I won't tell if you won't.
No, well, we don't encourage that.
Right.
But it's funny because I think based on that fact that no one can get a hold of it, it has a like rating of 1.5 stars on Amazon. And I'm pretty certain if I read the reviews, it's probably just people complaining that they weren't able to actually purchase one.
It's because nobody knows how to write a real review of a product on that site.
Yeah, all the reviews are like 1 star, so it just says, for shame, trying to take advantage of people like this. Do not give these scalpers your money. I don't think a single – I hope there's 1 star on here. There's 1 star. It's funny. 90% is the 1 star, and 9% is the 5 star, and those 9% are probably the people that actually managed to buy one.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's hilarious. So – that would be my suggestion, but
but you can't get it.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You can always write an IOU for it to someone.
That's right. Well, I was thinking to get you the Nintendo, so no. Never mind.
You might be able to find one that fell off the back of a truck or something.
Yeah. Right. Back in, like, I remember the Atari. I think our family bought an Atari 2600 that way, way back in the day. the early 80s. Well, there are things that are out there, too, that have probably been out for a little while that are, and again, like in movie-related terms. I saw this past week, and I don't think, Nathan, I don't think you and I have talked about it, but they have the new Mummy movie. There's another Mummy movie.
Oh, yeah, with like Tom Cruise.
It looks like there's two movies in one there. Like, there's a Mummy movie, and then there's, like, a Mission Impossible movie they spliced in. So I'm watching, I'm thinking, this doesn't look like the Mummy.
Well, first Tom Cruise has to steal the Mummy before he can release it into the world to, you know, wreak havoc all over the place.
Is that what they're doing? They're stealing it. Yeah, so I was watching the trailer. I was like, this is ridiculous. It looks even more ridiculous, if that's possible, than the Brendan Fraser Mummy from 99. Which I actually like as a kind of silly, fun movie. This new one looks like Transformers Mummy style or something.
Yeah.
But I hear that they want to redo the Universal Monsters universe, which they seem to do every few years. And when it flops, they pretend like that was not a part of it. they did Wolfman a few years ago, and they're like, we're going to redo it. No, that wasn't part of it. And then Dracula Untold. They're like, nah, that's not a part of it. I don't think it got anywhere with Victor Frankenstein. They didn't even bother with that one. But I think if you've got – so they're kind of drawing interest back to the Universal Monsters, which means, of course, that like a few years ago on Blu-ray, Universal released all their classic monster movies. Mm-hmm. Or not all, but their big stable of monster movies and really nice Blu-ray packages. And those are fun movies, even for people who aren't into horror movies. I mean, they're very mild films. I showed my kids a couple of them. The thing that my kid was most horrified about in The Wolfman was that he left muddy paw prints on the floor. look what he did! I was like, oh my goodness, keep it around. Your mother's influence is rubbing off. But those movies are really fun. They also have done individual sets for some of the monsters. They did this a few years back when that Van Helsing junk movie came out. They have things, so if someone specifically likes the Wolfman or likes Frankenstein, they got these. And the nice thing is, I think on some of those sets, they've included the Abbott and Costello meat
in
your monster, which were kind of always some of my favorites because they were just so silly. The next best thing to Young Frankenstein.
Yes. that's fantastic. So, Ian, I wanted to ask you while we've got you. So you're from Casey's Comics, and we've promoted that before. What are some things you have going on for the holiday sales-wise that people should come in and check out? Talk to us, you know, kind of run us down the list. If somebody's interested in comics, if somebody's interested in apparel, you know, just talk to us about the sales you got going on.
From Wednesday to Saturday, the 21st to 24th, we'll be doing our big Christmas sale. And I didn't write it down, so I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. It's 20% off on statues and busts, 50% off on calendars and action figures and toys, and 60% off on regular back issues and sets, and also 20% off on the wall books, a.k.a. the fancy first appearances and old stuff and things like that. But, that's what we'll have going on. So, you know, 45 boxes of back issues at 60% off, plus a whole bunch of sets, which are – some are mini-series, some are entire series, but they're all bundled, so you don't have to go looking around for the issues. You get the whole thing at once.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And are there any – just so people are out there know, any hours modifications for you?
Yeah. We'll be 11 to 7 on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Christmas Eve will be 11 to 4.
Nice.
Also, for every $25 you spend on gift certificate, you get another $5 free.
Sweet. Sweet. So, I think I've shared that. I saw you posted something on Facebook, and I shared that. So what we'll do is we'll make sure we also get that on the Pop Culture Ninja Facebook site, so that way, you know, people will be aware of that and can come on in and check some of that stuff out. Definitely check out Casey's Comics right there on Bel Air Road, and, you know, ask for Ian. He's the only one there right now, so he'll make sure to hook you up. So want to go into our $50 to $100 range here.
These must be gifts for someone you really, really like.
Yeah, you know, actually, it's funny because, you know, it's something that I might ask my wife for. You know, there's a Muster Brand Zelda collection. They're doing, like, the T-shirts or the long hoodie shirts, kind of like the tunic that Zelda has. Actually looks pretty decent, and I like those types of sweatshirts, the thinner ones where you can pull the hood up. $59.99 for those. Muster Brand's usually a pretty good website to go to and check out. So you can do musterbrand.com. And they actually have a lot of different collectibles and gift ideas on that wavelength that you can see. For the PC gamer out there, I want to make sure that we don't get accused of being discriminatory here. Logitech is coming out with a Prodigy keyboard and mouse combo, so a gaming mouse and keyboard, $69.99. Logitech's always been one of my go-tos. You know, you can spend ridiculous, stupid amounts of money for computer equipment, but Logitech, I find, has really solid stuff at a decent price. So for $69.99 for the gaming keyboard and the mouse, this is something I would definitely say to check out. So Logitech Prodigy keyboard and mouse combo. Nathan, back to you.
Okay. This doesn't fall within the $60 to $100 range. I kind of been all over the map on this. But I just realized that they have Star Trek The Next Generation Garden Gnomes.
What?
and they have beards like gnomes. So there's one, like a little fat Picard one sitting in his chair with a big beard. And this looks like it's a $24.99 kind of gift. So I'm sure if you look up Star Trek Garden Gnomes, you will find something.
You will find what you're looking for.
You'll find something.
Oh my word.
I think it's one of those things where there's a lot of interesting stuff out this year, but there's also I think that it seems like the geek persona, it just, you know, there's always something out there. People are always picking stuff up. A lot of times with some of my friends in that vein, it's hard to know what they have or don't have. But I did find some interesting stuff. There's a Game of Thrones. It's a few years old now, but there's a Game of Thrones cookbook. Now, given that there's been some cannibalism on the show, I'm not sure how authentic it is, but there's definitely some interesting sort of stuff out there. There's a lot of Doctor Who paraphernalia. I've seen some interesting Doctor Who related stuff. My kid's kind of into that. He started to discover the little figures. They're not the bobbleheads, but they kind of look like that.
The minis or
Is it Funko or something like that? The pop figures.
Yes.
And so they've got one now that's like Harry Potter on his train. So of course my son is kind of whacked out about that. Very much into that. That's cool. I'm sure it's probably not the it'd be difficult to pull off, I guess. We talked about DVD sets and stuff like that. There are some very interesting movies on digital on demand. I'm not sure how you pulled that one off. Giving a gift. I don't know if we figured that out yet. How to give somebody a digital gift of a movie. But there's some good stuff out there that's in theaters but is available. You can actually purchase it. It's not just a rental. For fans of zombies, or actually just fans of any kind of crazy action movie, I'd recommend there's a movie out now called Train to Busan. It's a Korean zombie film that takes place completely on a train. And if my kid were, say, 14 instead of 4, I would absolutely show him this movie. But it's insane. I think Stephen King tweeted a tweet that said something like, it's like a John Woo zombie movie. It's crazy. There's definitely I don't even want to get into it. It's a great movie. It's a lot of fun. It's got some drama to it. It's one of the better, like, just pure action intense. It's kind of like a really good version of it's kind of what I wanted World War Z to be.
Huh.
And it's cool because it's out there. You can, you know, you don't have to go download it. You can go to Amazon and actually purchase a digital copy of it.
Nice.
Be a lot of fun. I'm sure it would make for some great after Christmas dinner festivities. So, and there's a lot of stuff out there like that. But again, I think in terms of like the big movies, I think Suicide Squad and Jason Bourne, if they haven't dropped, they're just about to drop.
Yep.
and you could purchase those. And of course, Z and Zan, all things Star Wars are so insanely popular right
yes.
now.
Yeah.
And I think someone recently released a book that was like Star Wars, the whole chronological years for Star Wars. And what that is not the movies, but tracking all the events, fastidiously tracking the events that occur in the Star Wars universe in some wow. sort of like digestible – I don't know how digestible. I guess you have to read it to know. But that's definitely one of those geek items that I – you know, the really hardcore Star Wars fan might be down for.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that book cover old canon or new canon?
And see, that's a good question. What is even canon anymore? It's like all canon fodder. George Lucas has blown it to pieces how many times? And now it seems like the stuff that's happening in Star Wars Rebels is just as valid as anything else that happens anywhere else in the universe at this point. So.
Well, from what I understand, Star Wars Rebels is actually included in the canon, the Disney –
canon. But what's tricky about it is now that Star Wars canon is, or that Star Wars Rebels is starting to include characters from the books.
Right.
So I don't know if we're grandfathering things in now or not. I never much cared, honestly.
I think you just assume it's canon until something directly contradicts it.
Yeah.
It's easier right. that way.
And that's hard because Lucas has contradicted himself. Well. So it's like, so we understand that Phantom Menace with midichlorians is not canon, or is it 4 through 6 that aren't canon anymore?
We can just assume midichlorians are not canon.
Yeah.
That's a safe bet.
Oh, my word. That's hysterical. To your what you were saying, Nathan, another great movie that you and I both really enjoyed. I don't know if you're going to mention it or not, but I am because, I am. The Legend of Tarzan was a fantastic movie. Really enjoyed that one. And one that I would definitely recommend as a great gift for, you know, those who really enjoyed like that Saturday afternoon kind of serial, you know, adventure flick. Just really well done, really enjoyable. The characters, the humor, everything just pulled together for a great movie. And so that's one that I would definitely recommend.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with that. We mentioned the Mummy movie earlier, the one from the 90s.
Yep.
This is similar. It has a similar tone. It's not as silly.
Yes.
But I think it's in that same vein as that, the Rocketeer, the Zorro, yep. the newer Zorro movie.
Yep. Yep, I would agree. And then to add to that, Ash vs. Evil Dead, I think that actually hit DVD and Blu-ray back in September, October, just before the second season launched. But, you know, for those people who are fans of Evil Dead, fans of Bruce Campbell, Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 1 is out on Blu-ray and DVD. So you can, you know, pick that one up. And that's one that I would definitely recommend as well, adding to that collection. So, Ian, any other kind of thoughts or last-minute ideas that you might have, might think somebody might enjoy out there in this kind of pop culture, movie, comic book vein?
Something that I got introduced to very recently – and apparently everyone else has known about for years, is that...
that always happens to me.
That Sherlock series on the for the BBC.
Oh, yeah.
I got into that because I watched Doctor Strange, and my Netflix was going to expire in a few days, and I watched something else that said, you should watch this Sherlock. And I said, okay. And then I binged it in 6 days, and I think I'll probably end up buying the DVDs or asking for them at some point. But that was really
nice.
Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and one of the things that I really enjoyed about that one was I felt like it took that classic Sherlock feel, but it did do a good job of modernizing it and bringing it into, you know, 2016 or 2014, however old the series is now.
These started in 2010, and we've had 3 seasons up to now. But I'm not a big fan of police shows. I didn't like the old Basil Rathbone Sherlock stuff or – I'm not a big crime show guy, but the show just works. The characters are all interesting enough, and it's well-written. It's fun stuff.
Nice. So I've got couple last-minute recommendations. This is for those high rollers out there, the ones who will spend tons of money, the ones who money is no object. If that's you, please donate to us. But
shameless.
Hey, it's Christmas. So for those of you, you know, you're like, hey, I've saved up a ton of money and I want to get something really good for somebody. There is, for those of you who are Lord of the Rings fans, collectible fans out there, there's a limited edition pinball machine from The Hobbit for eight.
The ones that the Hobbits played?
Yeah, from the that's Hobbit. Right. So $8,500 for those of you who have the pocket change to put down. Somebody who might have a game room, you're looking to add something to the collection. Limited edition Hobbit pinball machine, and this one actually looks pretty cool because it's got a digital display screen in the back, so it's going to do more than just the one or two scroll that you see in the old pinball machines. It actually has some different scene setups and some things that are going on that digital machine, which looks pretty neat. And then the next thing is
for that price, you should get your own Hobbit with it.
That's true. maybe there's actually one in the machine controlling it. the next big technology that's coming out is the 4K televisions. It seems like everybody's making a push to go in that direction, and that's where things are moving. That's where things are going. We'll see if it lasts or not, but I know the new gaming systems, the ones that – I guess the 2.0s are coming out with the 4K. So if you're getting a PlayStation, if you're getting one of the Xboxes, one of the 2.0s, they are introducing that 4K technology. And so I can just imagine that the gaming systems, the next-gen gaming systems, are going to have that. But LG actually has a 55-inch 4K television for $2,299. So you're actually doing a little better with that one than the pinball machine. But it's a smart TV, so it's going to have all the features and apps that you can download onto it and get with it. But it is going to be that next kind of set of technology. So if you're trying to put a home theater system together for someone, or you're trying to put one together for yourself, that might be the way to go in the television direction. And of course, for those of you who are like me and you wait until 3 or 4 generation of technology comes out, you'll be able to pick up a 55 inch for, $200 in, 4 years. So, that's kind of all I have out there. Try to break it up, and obviously those last two were out there and ludicrous, more for the fun of it. But hey, not everybody works on our budget, so
you missed one. If you're talking about the high price ticket items,
uh-oh,
I was a little surprised that you did not miss, or you didn't mention, the life size Xenomorph egg replica with LED lights.
I was saving that one for you, Nathan.
$499 value. This is apparently large enough that it looks like the size of a small child. And it lights up, and it looks like it even opens up, and you have one of those face spiders inside.
Nice.
There's definitely a picture of a kid sitting next to it, big enough to like fit into it, holding the spider. So.
That's awesome. So
can't wait till my children open this one.
I was going to say, so that's what you're getting for Halloween next year to decorate, right?
Yeah. it comes with – yeah. It's going to be great. Something that a friend of mine brought to my attention that probably would be – it's kind of a cool thing too. It's a little – it's probably more of a it's hard to nail down and say, okay, this is exactly what I'm giving the person, but loot crates have become pretty popular. Are you familiar with that concept, Nathan?
I am, yeah. Are you, Ian?
Yes.
Yeah. Nathan, since you brought it up, why don't you go ahead and
So they can kind of like – it's something I think you can kind of subscribe to, or you can tend to, I think it's subscription by individual. Some of them I think do it individually, like mm-hmm. you subscribe and, okay, I'm going to get it this month. And I think you can continue to get them, but it's you can do them as a gift sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And what happens is every month, and you can get loot crates for just about anything.
Yes.
My friend Chris did one for horror movies recently, and they sent him some horror stuff. And he got some junk, and he got some good stuff in there, too. You know, they kind of like mix it up. Well, we have this crap. We must have 50 copies of this sitting over here. Just make sure we get rid of that and throw something good in while you're at it.
Right.
But and it probably the mileage depends on how much you like these things and which one you've got. But there's all kinds of loot crates out there for everything. I mean, there's ones for Harry Potter. There's things. There's more general geek ones, too, where you might get a whole bunch of stuff. So we mentioned those Funko Pop figures. Like, some of those will be there. You'll get T-shirts. I saw my friend was walking around with a Camp Crystal Lake hat.
Nice.
From the Jason Keys series. I saw that there's also – this isn't related to loot crates. But there's also a – throw pillow for your couch that has the periodic table of horror movies on it. So it's a periodic table, but it's broken down with hatchets and chainsaws and hockey masks and whatnot on
Excellent.
It. So if you're a horror movie lover there you go. That's a good one.
That is fantastic. And actually, that is a really great suggestion, Nathan. I'm glad you brought that up because I have thought about those and considered those as something to gift people, you know, just something that might be a fun little way to say, hey,
I give you
surprise.
Permission to purchase one for me.
All right. nice. So we are running down on time here. We're a little over an hour, but before we sign off, just want to take one more turn around. Ian, any other last minute recommendations or thoughts that you might throw out to people?
You can always make somebody a coupon book that has free hugs and things like that in it. And that costs you nothing.
There you go. Actually, it's funny that you say that. My wife actually said, you know what? All I want for Christmas is a coupon book full of make my lunches. That's what she wanted. She's like, I hate making my lunch. I just want a coupon book and I can tear one out and have you make my lunch.
No.
I didn't get her that. But
I was going to say, I'm not married, but I think that if you just gave her that, you would have gotten in trouble.
It is quite possible.
That's true. Better than free hugs. It should just be a book of free labor. Like, if everyone can appreciate free labor.
I will be your slave for 4 hours. Nathan, last minute thoughts or ideas?
No, I mean, I think I think we've had a lot of good suggestions. And again, you know, the best way too is sometimes if you're stuck on somebody, it's always helpful. Sometimes these people have Amazon lists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've discovered that's helpful.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but you know, stalk them on Amazon, find out if they've got a list.
That's right.
Then find out if it's updated.
Yes. Yeah.
I had a friend that was very notorious for making one of those, and then she would basically never update it, so everything on that list to be like, yeah, I don't have two of these. It's like, yeah, it's your fault.
That's hysterical. There's only the last thing that I'll mention, and it's just because this is a standard, this is a classic. Really, it extends over all age ranges, and that's Legos. Legos, it's one of those items. I still get Legos every year for Christmas in one form or another, whether it's a little small set. Occasionally, my wife will splurge out, and I'll get one of the bigger sets. But every year, I'll put it together, and then I'll disassemble it, put it away, and then I'll pull all the Legos out, you know, that I've collected over the years. And, you know, Christmas is that week, I'll pull them all out, and I'll build things and put them together. And that's just a great gift for all age ranges. Lego does some crazy stuff where they do these historical architectural things. So, you know, if somebody's not really quite in the mood for toys, they can actually literally build, you know, a model of the White House. And they kind of have that they can set up if they're into history. Of course, they, you know, delve into Star Wars for the Star Wars fans. They just go all over the place. They go crazy with it. Legos tend to be pricey, but you can get some of these things fairly inexpensive. So, you know, my last minute idea, if you're kind of stuck and you think this might be, yeah, you know, this is somebody who might appreciate something like that, you know, Legos might be a way to go. So Guys, this has been fun, and you know, it's been interesting getting different ideas and perspectives, and hopefully we've been able to help some people out there. If not, you know, I know I've got some ideas for my wish list. So, Ian, thank you so much for taking the time to come out and join
us. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Sure.
We're going to go ahead and sign off, and hope everybody has a Merry Christmas, and we'll catch you later.